بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today is our 51st session, 51, level 3, fiqh. One minute. Arabic lessons in fiqh, level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Alright, we're reading from Kitab As-Siyam, and the subject that we're going to be dealing with today is continuation from last week, who the fast of Ramadan is obligatory upon. And we read last week from our textbook, pages 69 and 70, and today, inshallah, we have secondary sources we want to look at. I'm going to refer you to Al-Wajiz fi Fiqh As-Sunnah Al-Kitab Al-Aziz, page 197, 198, and 200. But we may not be able to read them today. And also I'm going to refer you to Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi by Sheikh Salim Fawzan, pages 258 and 259, which he has some nice commentary also. But for the sake of time, we may not be able to do them. So I'm just giving you reference so that you can make sure you try to go back, look at those PDF files, and try to benefit from what is there. I'm going to read from today Al-Fiqh, Fiqh al-Ibadah, Shaykh Muhammad, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymin, his commentary, detailed commentary concerning who it is obligatory, yani the fast of Ramadan is obligatory upon them. Okay, the title is on page 249, Fiqh al-Ibadat, Fatawa related to Siyam, Ala man yajibu as-Siyam. The fasting, meaning the fasting of Ramadan, is obligatory upon who? Who is it obligatory upon? Su'al, yani page 249, Su'al, Rakam 135. The question is, Fadilatul Shaykh, Ala man yajibu as-siyamu? Upon who is the fasting obligatory? Al-Jawab. The Shaykh, he answers, Rahimahullah, As-Siyamu Yajibu Ada'an. Important word here. As-Siyam Yajibu Ada'an Ala Kulli Muslimin Balighin Aqilin Qadirin Muqimin Khalin Min Al-Mawani'. I don't know if you remember last week, but last week what we read from the book is that fasting of Ramadan is obligatory upon every what? Muslim, Balig, Aqil, Muqim, Sahih, Naam. The Shaykh adds here, Khalin min al-Mawani', the one who is free from that which prohibits them from fasting. And one of the, yani, those, who is it obligatory upon? The person who have these characteristics, these descriptions, the Muslim, who reached maturity, sane, able, resident. The Shaykh adds, number 6, and free from those things which prohibit you from fasting. If a person is not free from those things that prohibit you from fasting, then they cannot, then you cannot say it's obligatory upon them. Not, notice in the answer he said, As-Siyam Yajibu Ada'an. Yani it's obligatory upon these people now, in its prescribed time, not making up later. Because the fast may be obligatory upon some people to make up later. Like a sick person who expects to recover, it's obligatory upon them, not ada'an, but qada'an. It's not obligatory upon them now in its specified time, because they're sick, but it's obligatory upon them to make it up later, right? So, the Shaykh is saying here, fasting is obligatory ada'an, in its specified time, right now, when it's due, upon the Muslim, who reached the age of maturity, sane, able, muqim, resident, and free from the things that prohibit you from fasting. The last, number 6, is specific to women. فَهَذِهِ سِتَّةُ أَوْصَافٍ. These are 6 descriptions. Muslim, balig, reached the age of maturity. Aqil, sane. Qadir, able. Muqim, resident. خالٍ من الموانع, free from that which prohibits you from fasting. Each of these six the Shaykh discussed in detail. First he says, فَأَمَّا الْكَافِرُ. How did he come up with kafir? We didn't mention kafir. Muslim. The person who is Muslim, with the rest of these qualities, they have to fast. As far as the person who is not a Muslim, any one of these things missing is not obligatory to fast. So as far as the kafir, a person who is not a Muslim, فَلَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ السَّوْمِ. It's not obligatory from the fast. وَلَا غَيْرُهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادَاتِ. Nor any other acts of worship are obligatory upon him. وَمَعْنَا قَوْلُنَا لَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ السَّوْمِ. And what do we mean by this statement, لَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ السَّوْمِ? He gives the tafsil. Okay, we said last week it's not obligatory upon the kafir to fast, but the Shaykh is saying, what do we mean by that? A tafsil, أَنَّهُ لَا يُلْزَمْ بِهِ حَالْ كُفْرِهِ. Yani he is not compelled to fast during the time he is a kafir. حَالْ كُفْرِهِ, in his state of kufr. State of his kufr. He is not to be compelled to fast. حَالَ كُفْرِهِ. وَلَا يَلْزَمُهُ قَضَاؤُهُ بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِ. Nor is he required, compelled to make it up after he enters Islam. This is what we mean by لا يجب عليه, the kafir. Meaning, he is not to be compelled in his condition of kufr, nor is he to be compelled to make it up if he enters Islam later on. لأن الكافر لا تقبل منه العبادة حال كفره. Why is he not to be compelled during his kufr? لا تقبل منه العبادة حال كفره. Because during his kufr, his state of kufr, no, it will not be accepted from him. The ibadah, no ibadah will be accepted from him during his state of kufr. What is the proof of this? لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. What is the proof that the ibadah will not be accepted from a kafir while he's a kafir? The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَافِرُوا إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ. وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ, what has prevented them, أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ, from their spending the charity that they gave, what has prevented them from it being accepted from them? Nothing has prevented that, إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ. Nothing except that they have disbelieved in Allah and in His Messenger. This prevented مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ, that their spending be accepted from them. Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 54th Ayat. To the end of the Ayat. وَلَا يَلْزَمُهُ قَضَاءَ الْعِبَادَةِ. And they will not be compelled to make up that worship إِذَا أَسْلَمَ. What is the proof of this? لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, Anfal, 8th Surah, 8th Surah, Naam, 38th Ayat. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Say to those who disbelieved, إِنْ يَنْتَهُوا, if they stop, yani give up, cease from their kufr, يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ, then they will be forgiven what has proceeded from them, yani their past deeds. If they were cease from their kufr, then they will be forgiven the past. The Shaykh is using this as a proof of what? That, yani if they entered Islam, they are forgiven for the past. خلاص, they will not have to make it up now. They are forgiven that. يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. That is the benefit. The Shaykh has explained, what do we mean by it's not obligatory upon the kafir? Meaning, he's not to be compelled during his kufr. Nor if he entered Islam after that, does he have to make it up? But, well, he's not finished yet. But, لَكِنَّهُ يُعَاقَبُ عَلَى مَا تَرَكَهُ مِنَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ مِنْ وَاجِبَاتِ حَالَ كُفْرِي. However, he will be called to account. يُعَاقَبُ, he may be punished for what he abandoned of the obligatory duties during his state of kufr. Yani while he was a kafir, we will not compel him to do it, because it won't be accepted from a kafir. If he enters Islam, he won't have to make up for it, because what? He's already forgiven for that. But if he didn't enter Islam, he may be punished for him not doing those obligatory duties. Why? Because these duties are addressed to everyone. But the kafir, we don't compel him to do it while he's a kafir because his ibadah is not accepted in kufr. But nonetheless, if he doesn't enter Islam, he will be called to account for it. He will be called to account. What is the proof of this? The Shaykh says, يُعَاقَبُ عَلَى مَا تَرَكَهُ مِنْ وَاجِبَاتِ حَالَ كُفْرِهِ لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ وَهُمْ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ عَنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. يعني the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning Ashab al-Yameen, the people of the right hand, when they were asking one another about the Mujrimeen. They were asking about the Mujrimeen, meaning the Kuffar. This is from Surah Al-Mudathir, 74th Surah, 42nd through 47th Ayat. Yani this is the dalal, the proof of the Shaykh here. Pay attention carefully to why he's mentioning these ayahs from the Quran. What is the proof that they will be called to account for what they didn't do while they were kafirs and which would not have been accepted from them in kufr unless they entered Islam? مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقْرِ. What has caused you to fall into the saqr, the hellfire? قَالُوا, they will say, the people in the hellfire, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not of those who prayed. وَلَمْ نَكُوا نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. Nor did we used to feed the poor. وَكُنَّا نَخُوذُ مَا الْخَائِضِينَ. And we used to engage in false and vain talk with the vain talkers. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And we used to deny the day of accounting. حَتَّى أَتَانَ الْيَقِينَ. Until that which is certain came upon us, that is, death. The Shaykh says, فَذِكْرُهُ تَرْكَ السَّلَاةِ وَإِطْعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ دُخُولِهِمَ النَّارِ يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ لِذَلِكَ تَأَثِيرًا فِي دُخُولِهِمَ النَّارِ. Yani, the mention here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or these people that Allah is causing them to speak, yani, the mention of the abandonment of salat and the feeding, and the not feeding of the, yani, failure to feed the poor, mentioning this as being asbab dukhulihim an-nar, that these are from the causes of them entering the hellfire, that they didn't pray and they didn't feed the poor, indicates يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ لِذَلِكَ تَأَثِيرًا فِي دُخُولِهِمْ النَّارِ. This indicates that these things, the abandonment of salat and not fulfilling the duties that Allah called upon the people to do, that this has an effect. It was one from the causes of them being yani admitted into the hellfire. Rather, the Shaykh says more than that. بَلْ إِنَّ الْكَافِرُ يُعَاقَبْ عَلَى كُلِّ مَا يَتَمَطَّعُ بِهِ مِنْ نِعْمِ اللَّهِ مِنْ تَعَامٍ وَشَرَابٍ وَلِبَاسٍ. Rather, not only that, will he be punished for abandoning those things that Allah commanded the people to do, but even the kafir will be punished for everything that he enjoyed of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it was food or drink or clothing. He will be punished for enjoying that, because that wasn't for him in kufr. Yani, if he didn't believe in Allah, he's not entitled to that. What is the proof of this? لقول الله تعالى ليس على الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جناح فيما طعموا إذا ما اتقوا وآمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ثم اتقوا وآمنوا ثم اتقوا وأحسنوا والله يحب المحسنين. This is from Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 93rd Ayah. Listen to the ayah and then how the Shaykh uses it as a proof. ليس على الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جناح. There is no sin. There is no blame on those who believe and do good deeds. فِيمَا طَعِمُوا. Concerning what they have eaten. There is no blame on those who believe and do good deeds. There is no blame on them for what they have eaten. إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا وَعَمِنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. As long as they observe taqwa of Allah and they believe and do good deeds. There is no blame on them then. So is there blame on those who didn't believe and do good deeds? That's the point. Yani, then they, the people who believed, then they observed taqwa of Allah, and they believed, and they observed taqwa of Allah, and they did well. Ahsanu, and Allah loves the muhsineen, those who do good. This is from Surah Ma'idah. In the book, by the way, on page 250, we're on the top of page 250, Fiqh al-Ibadat, it has Al-Ma'idah 39. It should be Al-Ma'idah 93, Ayah 93. The Shaykh says here, فَنَفْيُ الجناح على المؤمنين فيما طعموا يدل على ثبوت الجناح على غير المؤمنين فيما طعموا. يعني the negation of any blame or any sin upon the believers concerning what they have eaten indicates that there is blame on other than the believers in terms of what they have eaten. يعني ثبوت نفي الجناح على المؤمنين يدل على ثبوت الجناح على غير المؤمنين. And additionally, as evidence, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 32nd ayat, he used as another proof, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ and especially, particularly, exclusively for them in the next life. يعني say, مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ Who has prohibited the zina, yani the adornments of clothing that Allah has provided, that He has brought forth for His servants, His worshippers, and the tayyibat, yani the good things from food, min al-rizq, that Allah has provided for His worshippers. Say, it is for those who believe in the life of this world, and exclusively, khalisatan, exclusively for the believers in Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani Yawm al-Qiyamah, whatever Allah has of good, will only be for the believers, right? The disbelievers will be in hellfire. But in this world, everybody is partaking in it. However, Allah is saying here, هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا It is even, in this world, it's only really for the believers. Although other people are partaking in it, guess what? They're going to be called to account for that. The Shaykh says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ That it is for the believers in this world, and exclusively for them on يوم القيامة, يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ الْحُكُمْ فِي غَيْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَخْتَلِفُ عَلَى الْحُكُمْ فِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ This indicates that the ruling concerning these things for other than the believers is different than the ruling for the believers. It's for the believers, it's not for the disbelievers. Shaykh is still not finished. This particular point, the Muslim, yani condition, yani for those who are obligated to fast, they have to be a Muslim, and he said that, yani the kafir is not to be compelled to fast during his kufr, nor should he have to make up for it if he enters into Islam, but if he dies on kufr, he will be called to account for it, as he explains here. The Shaykh goes on to say, وَلَكِنْ إِذَا أَسْلَمَ الْكَافِرْ فِي أَثْنَاءِ رَمَضَانِ لَمْ يَلْزَمْهُ الْقَضَاءُ فِيمَا سَبَقَ إِسْلَامِهِ Further point, Shaykh says, but if the kafir enters Islam during Ramadan, he will not be compelled to make up the fasting that he missed before his Islam. فَإِذَا أَسْلَمَ لَيْلَةُ الْخَامِسِ عَشَرَ مثلاً, so if the person entered Islam on the 15th night, of Ramadan, for example, then the 14 days before that, he will not be compelled to make up those days. And he became a Muslim during Ramadan, the days that passed before he entered Islam, he doesn't have to make them up. But he has to make up whatever is in front of him now. وَإِذَا أَسْلَمَ فِي أَثْنَى الْيَوْمِ If he entered Islam during the daytime hours of Ramadan, he is compelled to withhold himself, yani to abstain from eating for the rest of the day, dun al-qadha. But he doesn't have to make up the part of the day that he missed before he entered Islam. And there's some difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning this. But in any case, Sheikh Salih Fawzan said he does have to make up the part of the day that he missed if he entered Islam that day. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen said he doesn't have to make it up. And this is the more correct opinion. Wallahu alam. فَإِذَا أَسْلَمَ عِنْدَ زَوَالَ الشَّمْسِ You can go back and read. Yani al-mulakhis al-fiqhi Sheikh Salih Fawzan, the pages that I mentioned in the beginning, to go and look at the yani comments here. That's a little bit different. In any case, these are matters of fiqh. There could be difference of opinion about them. The rule that the Sheikh is using is that yani the before the person was a Muslim, the obligation is yani they're excused from it. If they entered Islam. They once they enter Islam, they become obligated to abstain. But whatever was before that, yeah, they excuse from it.
In Ramadan. course, if you do 15 days already.
If 15 days passed already, he doesn't have to make those days. He has to make the days that are remaining. If he entered Islam during the daytime, whatever hours passed before he took his Shahada, he doesn't have to make that up, but he has to abstain for the rest of the day. He has to abstain. The difference of opinion here is that Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, he has to abstain for the rest of the day. He doesn't get credit for that day. He has to make it up because he was a Muslim that day. That's the difference of opinion here. Okay? He said, إِذَا يَعْنِي أَسْلَمَ عَنْدَ زَوَالَ الشَّمْسِ. If he entered Islam at the time when the sun is beginning to descend, مثلاً, then we say to him, refrain for the rest of the day, and he doesn't have to make up that day. That's where there's a difference of opinion, right? فَنَأْمُرُهُ بِالْأَمْسَاكِ. We order him to abstain from eating anything for the rest of the day. لِأَنَّهُ صَارَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْوُجُوبِ. Because the time he entered Islam, he became one of the people who are obligated to fast. أَهْلُ الْوُجُوبِ. The people who is obligatory upon. وَلَا نَعْمُرُهُ بِالْقَضَاءِ. But we don't order him to make up. Here's the Shaykh making his point. Why he's saying like this? وَلَا نَعْمُرُهُ بِالْقَضَاءِ. We don't order him to make it up. لِأَنَّهُ قَامَ بِمَا وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ وَهُوَ الْأَمْسَاكِ مِنْ حِينَ أَسْلَمَ. The reason why we don't order him to make it up is because he has fulfilled what is obligatory upon him. Yani from the time he entered Islam, it's obligatory upon him to abstain from eating and drinking. He did that. That's when it became obligatory upon him. He did what was obligatory upon him when it became obligatory upon him. So why are we making him make it up? وَمَنْ قَامَ بِمَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ لَمْ يُخَلَّفْ بِإِعَادَةِ الْإِبَادَةِ مَرَّةً ثَانِيَةً. Here the Shaykh is arguing against the other opinion. Not anybody in particular. It's not just Shaykh Salih Fawzan. There are other scholars holding that opinion. I just mentioned him because that's one of the books that we're reading from. But the Shaykh is arguing against on this point. He's saying the reason why we don't order him to make it up is because when he entered Islam, it became obligatory to him abstain. He abstained. Why are we then ordering him to make up the day? Whoever has fulfilled what was obligatory upon them, we don't hold him responsible to repeat the act of ibadah a second time. He already did what he was supposed to do from the time it became obligatory upon him, that is from the time he entered into Islam.
He also said that he doesn't get the credit for that day, don't you say?
That's the argument of the other side. They said he didn't get credit for fasting that day, that's why he has to make it up. He has to abstain because now he's a Muslim, he can't be walking around eating, right? But he doesn't get credit for it because he didn't fast the whole day. So they're saying he has to make it up. Shaykh Uthaymeen is saying no. He did what was obligatory upon him, when it became obligatory upon him, he doesn't have to make up the day. Rather, that's past. Yani whatever passed him by before he had entered Islam, he doesn't have to do anything. He has to do something now, which is abstain for the rest of the day, fast for the rest of the month. As long as he does that, whatever passed is not against him. Okay, the second point that the Shaykh makes here, he's going on now. From the first condition, is you have to be a Muslim. As far as the kafir, we said, the details of what he has explained here in great detail. And this kind of detail, what he explained here, is not, you're not going to find in the books of fiqh, when they talk about fasting, who is obligated, they're going to say, you have to be a Muslim, kafir is not obligated, they're going to give all this detail. Second point, al-aql, has to be sane. أَمَّا الْعَقْلْ فَهُوَ الْوَصْفَ الثَّانِي لِلْوُجُوبِ. This is the second description or characteristic that's necessary for a person to be characterized with in order to be, for it to be obligatory upon them. You have to be a Muslim, you have to be sane. Al-aql huwa ma yahsulu bihi al-mayz. Ay, al-tamyiz bayna al-ashya. So the aql, the intellect, it is the yani instrument through which a person is able to distinguish between things by the intellect. If a person doesn't have intellect, they can't distinguish between things, between right and wrong, make intention and so on. So if a person, إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنَ الْإِنسَانَ عَاقِلًا, if he doesn't have intellect, فَإِنَّهُ لَا سَوْمَ عَلَيْهِ, there's no fasting obligatory upon him. كَمَا أَنَّهُ لَا يَجِبَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْعِبَادَاتِ سِوَى الزَّكَاةِ. Just as there's no act of worship that is obligatory upon the insane person except the zakat. Yani, just being insane, you don't get away with paying zakat. You have money, it's going to be paid. Somebody has to manage the insane person's money. If they have money, the poor people have a right to some of that money. So just because the person is sane, he doesn't have to pray, he doesn't have to fast, but he does, zakat has to be paid for him. This is a point, Akhi, this is, that he shows the detail of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, you can't say I'm Donald Trump, I'm insane, I don't have to pay zakat. It's not going to work, not in Islam. In the Muslim state, he's going to have to pay zakat. He ain't paid tax for 10 years, man. Huh? What is this nonsense? This is criminality, brother, pure criminality. So why zakat? وَمَنْ هَذَا النَّوْءُ And also included under the person who doesn't have intellect, مِمَّنْ لَيْسَ لَهُ عَقْلٍ Yani the people who don't have intellect, and يَبْلُغَ الْإِنسَانِ سِنًّا يَسْكُتُ مَا وَتَمْيِيزِ If a person reaches that age, where they're not able to distinguish and discern between different things. Senility. A person became senile to the extent they don't know this from that anymore. That person is included under the title of the person who doesn't have intellect. Not that they don't have any intellect, but it's not working. They can't really distinguish. They're also included in this. This is what is known amongst the masses of people, yani in the Arab lands, as hadarat. Yani the person who babbles, who talks nonsense, who they're not making sense when they're talking, yani their intellect is not intact. This person is not obligated to fast as well. Person, when they reach the age, where they're not making sense anymore. They don't know this between right and wrong. وَلَا يَلْزَمْ عَنْهُ الطَّعَامُ Nor that person who reached this point, nor is anybody obligated to feed somebody on their behalf. This is an important point. Because some people can't fast, but they have to feed somebody. These people, they don't have to fast, and nobody has to be fed on their behalf. لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْوُجُوبِ Because he is not from the people who are obligated to fast. This is an important point. Because maybe some people get very old and their guardians in Ramadan see they can't fast so they're feeding somebody on their behalf. It's not necessary. The third description. Yani when the people reach the age of maturity, al-bulug. As far as the third description, al-bulug, وَيَحْصُلُ al-bulug بِوَاحِدْ مِنْ أُمُورْ ثَلَاثَ This reaching the age of maturity is achieved through three different matters. Three different matters. The Shaykh says, either the person completes 15 years, yani they reach the age of 15, or there's growth in the pubic areas of hair, or yani the hair that is rough, coarse hair, yani that is in the front of the private areas, pubic areas, or yanzil al-mani, or semen, yani is... Yeah, like they have a dream in sleep or awake. Yani there's emission of semen with leather. Yani meaning with pleasure. Yani that emission of semen is a pleasurable experience. If that happens when a person is sleeping or when they're awake, this is the third thing. First thing, reaching 15. Second thing, the growth of coarse, rough hairs in the pubic areas. And the third thing, the emission of semen. Sleep in sleeping state or waking state. Any one of these three person reach bulugh, any one of them. And the woman has a third matter, and that is hayd, if she has menses. فَإِذَا حَاضَتْ الْمَرَأَ بَلَغَتْ If a woman has a menses, then she reached the age of responsibility, of maturity. So based upon this, whoever completes the age of 15, male or female, they reach the age of responsibility. Whoever had the coarse hairs that grow in the pubic area, even if they didn't reach 15, they could be 14, 13, 12, or 10. Even if they didn't reach 15, male or female, they have reached bulug. Whoever has emission of semen with leather, yani with pleasure, male or female, even if it's before they reach 15, they have reached the age of responsibility. They have to fast. Whoever had menses from the women, even if it's before the age of 15, then they have reached the age of maturity. So the Shaykh is saying here, it's not as some people think, you have to wait until they're 15. No, any one of these three things indicate that the person has reached the age of responsibility, and they will have to fast. Perhaps a female may have menses, and she is only 10 years old. Naam. Here the Shaykh said, it is obligatory to call to attention of the people concerning this issue which many people are unmindful of. And that is, some of the women when they have menses at an early age, they don't know that it's obligatory upon them to fast. Or to do other acts of worship, which are based upon yani reaching the age of responsibility. And this is because many of the people think that al-bulugh is only achieved by reaching 15 years of age. وَهَذَا ظَنْ لَا أَصْلَ لَهُ. This wrong thinking has no foundation in Islam. فَإِذَا لَمْ يَكُنُ الْإِنسَانِ بَالِغًا فَإِنَّ السَّوْمْ لَا يُجِبُ. So if a person didn't reach the age of responsibility by any one of these three matters, then fasting is not obligatory upon them. The Shaykh goes on to say concerning this point, the third matter, however, some of the scholars have mentioned that the guardian is commanded to order those under his care who are very young, whether they're male or female, to fast, male or female, لِيَعْتَادَهُ, to accustom them and to train them and to make it easy for them so that when they reach the age of responsibility, they will be prepared for it. And this is what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to do. فَإِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُصَوِّمُونَ أَوْلَادُهُمَ الصِّغَارِ. They used to command, they used to force their small children to fast. حَتَّى إِنَّ الْوَاحَدْ مِنْهُمْ لَيَبْقِي. Even some of the times the children may be crying. So he would give him a toy that they made from wool so that he would amuse himself and entertain himself with this until the sunset came. This hadith mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. Number four, fourth point, Al-Qadir, the one who is able, yani the Muslim, the Aqil, reach the age of responsibility, and who is able, as opposed to the person who is not able. Naam.
Yeah, about when the Sheikh mentioned the emission of semen pleasure, I don't know if it's for him to make the distinction between money and mazi, or because emission with pleasure, somebody can have a night dream, or like can have a, like a emission of sleep when he wakes up, and he may not even remember anything.
No.
So I don't know what he means here about emission.
Allahu a'lam. But it appears as though what he means is that the person physically have reached the state that they enjoy this state when this happens, as opposed to something that happened, the person is not just not conscious, doesn't remember it, but doesn't have any physical pleasure from it. It's just a physical activity of the body that is not accompanied by pleasure. It should be accompanied by pleasure. Yani, it could be like something happening with the body, but they didn't reach that state where they actually feel, yani, enjoy, experience pleasure when that happens. Then that's what he's distinguishing between. Wallahu a'lam.
Because I remember a long time ago, like some big groups, they used to define it like the magic with the money. The money comes like with the force, like something like that. I don't know if it was.
There's a distinction for sure, no doubt. But I don't think that's what he means here. Wallahu a'lam. In any case, yani the point is though, I mean the main point here is that there's more than one way in which a person will identify or recognize that they have reached the age of responsibility, and that's one of them. The fourth matter that is mentioned here is Al-Qadir. Yani from the five or six descriptions or characteristics of the person who is responsible to fast in Ramadan, one of them is that person who is able to fast. أَمَّا الْوَصْفَ الرَّابِيَ. Then it is the person who is able to fast. أي يستطيع أن يصوم بلا مشكة. يعني the person who is able to fast without hardship. Because some people might be sick, they might be very up in age, and it may be extremely difficult for them to fast. They could fast, but it's major hardship. Allah, ما يريد الله لا يريد الله بكم العسرة. يريد الله بكم اليسرة ولا يريد بكم العسرة. يعني Allah wants ease for you. Allah doesn't intend that this fasting be extreme hardship on people. And certainly, in an extremely hot day, even a young person might find some difficulty in fasting, but it's not hardship to that extent. It's just that I really want to drink some water. But you can make it, you know. But some people, their condition, whether it's through old age or whatever, it may be extreme hardship for them to fast, though they're able to fast. The meaning here, able, mean able to fast without extreme hardship. So if the person is not able to fast, if the person is not able, then there is not obligatory upon them to fast. However, the person who is not able is divided into two divisions. Those who are not able are of two divisions. The first division, the Shaykh says, those whose inability to fast is mustamirran da'iman, yani ongoing, constant, continuous condition. They are not able. It's not like a week I'm sick, or a condition overcame me for a couple of days or a few hours. Rather, this is their constant, ongoing condition, chronic illness, for example. Okay? This person, that's the first division of those who are unable to fast. Person who has ongoing condition, like the very elderly person or the sick person who does not expect to recover from their sickness. This person should feed for every day a poor person. So if the month of Ramadan has 30 days, then they should feed 30 poor people. And if the month has 29 days, they have to feed 29 people. And this feeding also has two ways that it can be done. Okay, the people who are unable to fast, there are two divisions. One who permanently unable to fast, and the other one who's temporarily unable to fast. As far as those who are permanently, they have to feed a person, and the way of feeding, there are two ways of feeding. They may give some rice or some wheat or some kind of food in the amount of a ruba sa'a. A ruba sa'a. The sa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh says that this is five of the sa'a that are known to us today. Yani in Saudi Arabia, the sa'a that they are using in this day and time, five of them is one sa'a of the Prophet. So he's making clear that not the sa'a that we are using in our cities right now, but the sa'a of the Prophet. One sa'a, yani, or one fourth of a sa'a, or one mud, is what is required to feed a person. This is one way to give them, yani, one mud, or one quarter of a sa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is equal to, he said, about 2.4 kilos, yani kiloain, 2 kilos, and arba'ina jaraman, yani 2.40 or 2.4 kilos of wheat, good wheat or whatever like this. So that if it was weighed, this good wheat was weighed, it would reach, yani, it would reach in weight 2.40, yani, kilos. This is the sa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the sa'a of the Prophet is divided into four parts or four mud. So, fayakfi li arba miskin. This sa'a of the Prophet is sufficient to feed four poor people. Yani if you have one sa'a of the Prophet, you can feed four, you can give one sa'a to four people, that's good. You've taken care of feeding four people. However, the Shaykh said it would be good in this condition, if a person is feeding people, someone like this, that they should also add to it some condiments or some other food like meat or other than that, according to, yani, what is customary amongst the people. Yani, you give them some rice. Do the people normally eat rice by itself?
No.
What do they normally eat with it? Whatever they normally eat with it, put something with it. He said, this is, yani, yuhsan. It would be good if you do that. It's not mandatory, but if you do that, it's good. The second way to feed the people is that you prepare food that's sufficient for 30 people or 29 people according to the month, how many days it is, and then you invite them to come and eat as it has been, to eat from that food that's sufficient for 29 and 30 people. And as it was mentioned from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, at the time when he reached up in age, he was elderly, he was unable to fast, so he used to, and he called the people, 29 or 30 people, and feed them this meal. All of those people ate, that was sufficient for the 29 or 30 days he didn't fast. He said it's not permissible to feed one person with that which is sufficient to feed 30 or 29, yani, meaning it is a necessity that you feed one poor person for every day. Not get a fat, hungry, greedy person and feed them a big pan that's sufficient for 30 people and only one person ate. He ate food for 30 people, but only one person ate. No, you have to feed 30 people. Or you can feed two at a time, or five at a time, or one person every day, even if it's the same person. But not one person, one gigantic meal that's sufficient for 30, and only one person ate. That doesn't work. That's the second way. Two ways for the people who are unable to fast, and their condition is permanent. Chronic illness, for example, or up in age where a person just can't fast except with great extreme difficulties. They may give them the food uncooked, or they may prepare it and invite them to eat. The second group of people. This is the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen in his book Fiqh al-Ibadat. Fiqh al-Ibadat. The fiqh of all types of worship. So there's Kitab al-Siyam and Salat and so on, Hajj, like this, in this book. The second category the Shaykh mentions are those who have, yani from this fourth category of people unable to fast, are those who have some inability which they're expecting to cease, to end at some point. So this is an inability that is passing. It's not a permanent condition. Like sickness that came over a person during his days of fasting. And they were able to fast generally, but they got sick one day or two or three and they were unable to fast. It became difficult for them to fast due to that condition. We say to that person, break your fast and make up the day. Yani, fast another day in place of that day, based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 185th ayat, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى. So whoever is sick or on a journey, then فَعِدَّةٌ, a number of other days, مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى, from other days, yani to fast those other days. This is the end of yani what is mentioned in reference to those who are able. Yani those who are unable, I mean, unable temporarily, then they have to make up the days later on. Naam.
For the first way of feeding, because it says that the soul has to feed, it's called first people. So, and you are obligated to feed one person a day.
One person a day.
So you can, so this soul, you can divide and give to four
people. You can divide and give to four people. Take the soul, make one mud for each person. Naam. The fifth description, al-muqim, yani, in order for it to be obligatory upon you to fast, now, at the time when the fasting comes, you have to be muqim. If you're a traveler, you don't have to fast now, you got to make it up later, alright? But you don't have to fast now. He's talking about, okay, the muqim. Muqim is a condition that necessitates you fasting now, when Ramadan came. As far as this fifth description, yani that a person is resident, the opposite of it is the musafir, the person who's a traveler. The traveler is the person who has separated from their land, from their city, from their town. They have gone outside of the city that they live in. This person is not obligated to fast at that moment when Ramadan comes or during the days of Ramadan if they are a traveler at that time based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we just mentioned. Whoever, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامِ الْأُخْرَى. Whoever is sick or on a journey, they make the days up later. لكن, Shaykh says, لكن الأفضل أن يصوم إلا أن يشق عليه. It is better for the traveling person to fast, even though they are traveling. It is better, not obligatory. It's better for them to fast, except if it is extreme hardship on them. فالأفضل فطرة. In that case, if there's extreme hardship, then what is better is that they break their fast. Okay, the Shaykh is saying two things here. The person who's fasting, if there's no hardship on them while they're traveling, it's better to fast. If it's hardship, it's better not to fast. Yani, don't fast with hardship. If you're a traveler, break your fast. That's what's better. Based on the saying of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Ramadan in a day of extreme heat, and there were some from amongst us who were fasting. Or I should say, وَمَا فِينَ صَائِمٌ. There was no one amongst us fasting. إِلَّا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ and عَبْدُلَّهِ ibn رَوَاحَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. The hadith is in Bukhari Muslim. No one of us was fasting except the Prophet and عَبْدُلَّهِ ibn رَوَاحَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. As far as if it is extreme difficulty on the person to fast, then فَإِنَّهُ يُفْتِرُ وَلَا بُدَّ. If it's extreme difficulty, the Shaykh said, he breaks his fast. He must break his fast. He must break his fast. What's the proof of this? You know, the Shaykh, he doesn't say anything without proof, right? لِأَنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. It was complained to the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ that the people were having difficulty because شَقَّ عَلَيْهِمْ السِّيَامُ. The people were experiencing difficulty in fasting. فَأَفْتَرَ. So he broke his fast. The Prophet. Why he broke his fast? So that the people could break their fast. So they could follow his example. So they won't be in hardship. Because out of compassion for the people, even though he was able to fast. Then it was said to him, some of the people, they are still fasting. The Prophet ﷺ said, أُولَٰئِكَ أُصَاتْ. These people are disobedient, sinful. These people, أُولَٰئِكَ أُصَاتْ. Why are they أُصَاتْ? Because there was extreme difficulty. The Prophet then said, break your fast. He broke his fast and he told the people to break the fast. Some people, they didn't break their fast. This is a proof of what? That if it's extreme difficulty in fasting while traveling, then you must break your fast. You must break your fast. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Naam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The fifth description. I'm sorry, that was the fifth description. The sixth description is what? That requires a person to fast? Free خَالٍ مِنْ الْمَوَانِيَ. They have to be free from those things that prohibit you from fasting. We said this is particular to women. Yani the person has to be free from الْمَوَانِيَ. A من موانئ الوجوب, from those things that prohibit or prevent it from being obligatory upon you, because you can't fast. And that is يختص بالمرأة, is exclusively يعني related to women. فيشترط في وجوب الصوم عليها أداء أن لا تكون حائضا ولا نفسا. So it is a condition in order for the fast of Ramadan to be obligatory upon the women, that yani obligatory upon them at the time when it became due in Ramadan. It is a condition in order for it to be obligatory upon them to fast right now when Ramadan came, that they be free from menses and after childbirth condition, postpartum bleeding. So if the woman is in menses or she's nufasa after having delivery of the child, bleeding, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَجِبُ الصَّوْمِ. It is not obligatory upon them. إِنَّمَا يَقْضِي بَدَلَ الْأَيَّامِ الَّتِي أَفْتَرَتْ. Rather, they have to make up the days later for the days that they broke their fast. This is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, approving or affirming this point. He said, "Alaysa idha hadat lam tusalli wa lam tasum." Isn't it so that the woman, when she has menses, that she didn't pray and she didn't fast? And in this hadith, the Prophet is affirming that when the woman has menses, she doesn't fast and she doesn't pray. And another, this hadith in Bukhari and other narration mentions what? When they were asked why they have to make up the fasting but not the prayers, this is how the Prophet ﷺ ordered them. فَإِذَا حَاضَتْ. So if the woman has menses, فَلَا سَوْمَ عَلَيْهِ, then there's no fasting obligatory upon her يعني at that time. بَلْ تَقْضِي فِي أَيَّامْ أُخَرْ. But she has to make up the days later. وَهُنَا مَسْأَلَتَانْ يَنْبَغِي التفطن لهما. And here are two issues that we must understand, pay attention to. المسألة الأولى, in reference to the women in this condition. The first issue is some of the women, when they became free from menses, and they became clean from menses, in the end of the night, and she knows that she became clean from the menses, but she didn't fast that day. Follow, at the end of the night she was free from her menses before the break of dawn, and she knew that she was free from the menses, but she didn't fast the day that followed that night, thinking that if she didn't take a ghusl before the break of dawn, then her fast would not be valid. She was free from menses, but she didn't take a ghusl and the dawn came upon her, so she imagined that because she wasn't clean when dawn came, then the fasting is not valid. وَلَيْسَ الْأَمْرُ كَذَلِكَ. But this is not correct. بَلْ صَوْمُهَا يَصِحُّ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْتَصِلْ إِلَّا بَعْدَ تُلُوِ الْفَجْرِ. Rather, her fasting is valid, even if she didn't take a ghusl until after the break of dawn. Doesn't matter. Her fasting is still valid. The second issue, المسألة الثانية, هِيَ أَنَّ بَعْدُ النِّسَاءَ تَكُونُ صَائِمًا. Some of the women are fasting. Different issue, right? Some of the women are fasting. فَإِذَا غَرَبَتِ الشَّمْسِ أَفْتَرَتْ جَاءَهَا الْحَيْدِ قَبْلًا تُصَلِّي الْمَغْرِبِ. Some of the women are fasting and the sun set and she broke her fast and then the menses came before she prayed the Maghrib prayer. Sunset, she broke the fast, finished the day of fasting, but the menses came before she was able to pray the Maghrib prayer. So some of the women, they're saying, if the menses came after breaking the fast, but before praying the Maghrib, then the fasting for that day is invalidated because the Maghrib came before, yani, or they didn't, yani, They broke their fast, but the Maghrib came, the menses came before they prayed Maghrib. But it came after the sunset and after they broke the fast. He said some women, they think that their fast, because the menses came before praying Maghrib, they believe that the fast is invalid. وَكُلُّ هَذَا لَيْسَ بِسَحِيِّ. All of this is not correct. Indeed, the woman, if the sun has set and she didn't see her menses coming, anything coming from her, فَسَوْهَا صَحِيِّ, then her fasting is correct. If she completed until Maghrib, even if she didn't pray the Maghrib prayer, حَتَّى لَوْ خَرَجَتْ بَعْدَ غُرُوبَ الشَّمْسِ, even if the menses came after the setting of the sun 1 minute or 1 second after the setting of the sun, the fast is valid, sahih. These are six characteristics. If they are gathered together or they collected, all of them are accumulated in any person, wajibat alayhi sawm Ramadan ada'an, then that person must fast the fast of Ramadan in its time, in its specified time, not later on. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ أَنْ يُفْتِرَ, and it's not lawful for that person to break the fast any of the days of Ramadan. وَإِنْ تَخَلَّفَتْ وَاحِدْ, but if any one of these descriptions are absent, then it is as we have, as you have heard, yani what we already mentioned, meaning if the person is not a Muslim or they're not yani reached puberty or they didn't have sanity or they were not resident or they were not able, or in the case of women, if they are not free from the things that prohibit the obligation of fasting, if any one of those are absent, person is not obligated to fast at that particular time, yani with the details that mentioned. Yani some of them are permanently excused and some are temporarily excused. This is what the Shaykh yani mentions concerning this matter, and alhamdulillah, yani the adhan is about to be called. Any question about what we talked about? Now, mashallah.
She fasted
the whole day.
Almost, maybe 1 hour before sunset.
And 1 hour before sunset, the menses came. Then the menses, it came before sunset, before completing the fast, is invalid. The day is invalid. They have to make that day up.